Corinthians, book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. We'll read verses 10 through 13 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. First Corinthians 1, verses 10 through 13. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us. Thank you for reminding us in such a special way of your love tonight. Lord, with the Lord's Supper, as we took it and remembered all that you've done for us and paid for our salvation, the wonderful music, yet we still need reminded of it in a deeper way through the preaching of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, do that which only you can do. Please work on our hearts. Work through the man of God tonight that you've given us. Please bless him as we listen, so that we can get from heaven what we need tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I realize I stepped to the pulpit a little later than usual, and that because of the Lord's Supper. I will do this. I will respect your time. I'll not get you out late. I'll get you out probably just a touch early, but that means I need you to give me your attention. I want you to pay very careful attention. The fewer interruptions I have to my attention, the sooner I'll be able to get you out this evening. I'm going to read to you again a portion of the text where the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Tonight, I preach another preventative maintenance sermon. Right now, our church is at a high. Our church, the spirit in our church, everything that's happening around here is just, it's just going wonderful. And so I want to make sure we try to keep it that way. And I'm not trying to fix anything that's broken tonight. I believe in trying to keep it from breaking in the first place. We are a unified church. That is obvious to anyone that is a part of this church. I want to keep it that way. The question is asked here, is Christ divided? And that's the title of my sermon, is Christ divided? Well, the obvious answer is no. No, Christ is not divided. He is unified. Our God is a triune God. The word tri, that prefix, meaning three. Our God is a three-part God, but he's one God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They all make up our great Jehovah God. Let me explain something to you about our God. He's not divided. He's not divided. The Spirit of God agrees with God the Father. Jesus agrees with the Spirit of God. There's no disunity in them at all. And that's how you and I are to behave within the church. We're to behave like that our three-part God behaves. You'll never find that the Spirit of God will lead you contrary to the Word of God. They are in perfect unity. They agree with one another perfectly. Here, we see in this passage of Scripture that in the church of Corinth, there was division. There was division among them. There was some disunity among them. Let's make sure that we don't need reminded like they needed reminded. Paul says to them, "Have you forgotten that the central figure of the church is Jesus? And Jesus is not divided." There's a word that is used some. I've used it before. I don't like cliques. I don't like cliques. I don't like them in churches. I don't like them in schools. I don't like them in ministries. You get a little cliquey and get your little group and everybody else is shunned or pushed away. It's not supposed to be like that in the New Testament church. Not supposed to be like that. I don't want that in our church. I don't think we have that in our church. It can easily develop in a church like ours because we have ourselves divided into many, many ministries. But we're divided into ministries, but there's not to be division among those ministries. Here, the church of Corinth was a carnal church. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, "There are contentions among you." They were not spiritually minded in this church. Maybe they were more worried about their self-interest than God's will. And there was the gossiping and the griping and the backbiting. And I believe there were cliques in the church of Corinth. In verse 11, it says there these contentions. What is that? That's divisions. There were divisions among them. Somebody wasn't a team player. Contentions come from that you get together and you get to complaining and griping about others and you're right and they're wrong, and it's not supposed to be that way. It's to the point in the church at Corinth, some were saying, "Well, we're all part of the same church, but we're of Paul." Somebody else said, "Well, we're of Apollos." Somebody else said, "Well, we're of Cephas." And let me tell you about Paul, Apollos, and Cephas. They were all good men. They were all good men. But they had divided themselves into these little pockets. And Paul says, it's not supposed to be that way. You're supposed to be all a part of the same church. People in the same church here had divided themselves into little groups that were causing contentions, supporting their group and not the other groups, talking bad about the other groups, actually causing division in the church, pockets of criticism and gossip and self-centeredness and stinginess and pushing others out. Finally, the question is asked, is Christ divided? Well, that's a pretty heavy question, honestly, but the answer is no. They had to speak up and say, was Paul crucified for you? Why, no, he wasn't. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Why, no. Jesus was crucified for you. You were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And remember that Jesus is the central figure. And basically it was being said here, knock off the division. Knock it off. We're to do what is best for Christ and His church, and we're to do what is best for the entire group, not just your little group. We don't have a problem with this here. We don't, and I don't think we will. But it is sermons like this that keep problems from developing. Our church is unique. You know, we have people from a four-state area that come to our church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Every service, there are people here from Virginia. There are people here from West Virginia. There are people here from Maryland. There are people here from Pennsylvania. And I don't mean just one family from those states. I mean many, many. This thoroughfare out here, 81 people pass back and forth. And we have a special opportunity to serve a lot of people here. This morning, I know in Sunday school, after I got all the late Sunday school reports, almost 1,100 people in Sunday school this morning, for which we're grateful. God's been good to us. We have an excellent staff. And I think God is giving us the opportunity not only to reach our city and our county and our state and the East Coast. I think God's given us an opportunity to influence the nation. But I'll tell you something. God doesn't want division in the church. He doesn't want that. It can be easy for a church the size of ours, because it takes a bunch of little units to keep the big units strong. It could be easy for us to fall into the same trap that the people in the church of Corinth had. Self-serving groups. And I want you to serve the little group you're in, but not at the expense of offending all the others. Self-centered groups and self-serving groups and some groups that won't receive other groups and being critical of the other ministry, stinginess, not being a part of the big team. And listen, no little part of the church is more important than the collective body of the church. None. None. Your ministry is not important than anybody else's ministry. Your Sunday school class is not as important as anybody else's Sunday school class. Now, I think you ought to be loyal to your class. I think you ought to love your class. I think you ought to believe it's the best class in the whole church, but you ought to let somebody else believe that theirs is the best class in the whole church too. Let me extend the life of our revival tonight. Let me extend the life of our exceptionally unified church. I'm going to tell you some things. I'm going to tell you quickly. I want you to listen quickly. Number one, we have many, many ministries who develop loyalties within themselves. Now, and I'm good with that. We have many ministries here at our church, and they develop some loyalties within that individual ministry, and it's a loyalty to that ministry, and that's okay. When people work together, they get close to one another. When people serve together, it's natural. It's okay. And really, it's healthy. That's healthy. It's not bad. It's not bad that the King's Kids workers have a camaraderie. They work together every Sunday night, 52 weeks out of the year. That's okay. It's okay that the parking lot attendants will have a certain little fellowship, and we've got our music groups. You get into a music group, and you practice together, and you sing together, and you're going to get close to one another, and you'll have a loyalty. But let me tell you something. Anytime a music group sours to where it's standing around criticizing, gossiping, now that music group's loyalty to one another has become tainted. Now it's become tainted. Bus ministry workers, you're going to be close to bus ministry workers. And youth ministry workers will be close to youth ministry workers. Sunday school attenders are going to get close because they're in that unit. We have over 70 Sunday school classes here. We have 22 adult Sunday school classes here in this church. And hey, I want you to love your adult Sunday school class. I want you to love being a part of the Sunday school ministry here. But remember now, nothing is more important than everything. Choir members, they get close. Boy, they practice and practice and practice and spend hours together. Loyalty to your group is a wonderful thing, and I want to encourage it, but it's always got to be handled properly. So let me say, first of all, we have many ministries. Loyalties will be developed, and I want to encourage those loyalties, but there's got to be propriety in those loyalties so that the church in a whole is protected but not hurt by those loyalties. Number two, never should any ministry cause division for the rest of the church. Never should any individual ministry cause division in the rest of the church. We ought to be loyal to the program. Be a team player. When a group within our church becomes independent of God's purpose, that's called rebellion. Your group should always submit to the church's plans. The church doesn't rotate around you. You're to rotate around the church. The church always should take priority over your group. There was a Sunday school class very, very graciously, and I was impressed. I'll tell you what, there's somebody that planned a little activity, and they found out that the church was hosting an activity, and that individual said, you know what, I need to back off on my plans because there's a church-wide activity, and I don't want my plans to compete with the church. That's what it's all about, right there. Right there. Hey, look, those of you that have leadership positions, somebody loved you and trusted you to give you that leadership position. Don't turn around and use your group that was given to you by the church's leadership. Don't use it against the church. That surely could not be right. See, never should any ministry cause division in the church. Your group is never more important than the church and the church's well-being. Now, number three. Let me warn some of our ministries so they don't fall into this destructive, evil trap like they did in the Church of Corinth. Here are some of those divisions that could come. You could get this philosophy or this attitude of the old crowd and the new crowd. When I first got here, we were very, very careful that we didn't develop an attitude. Dr. Don Smith, pastor of this church for 35 years, he loves me, I love him. We get along together. Never had a moment of tension between he and I. But if we're not careful, as I took this church over, there could have been new people joining the church. There could have been some people say, well, I'm of Don Smith, and somebody else say, I'm of Jeff Owens. Folks, we have to face it. Brother Smith is a member of our church, and I love him and respect him. He holds a position, pastor emeritus, and we don't compete, but I have to pastor the church now. We don't have any problem with that. I'm not having any problems with that. But you can get this mentality of I'm the old group and they're the new group. Any of you that feel that way, you are potential division causers. Six months ago, I had somebody say to me, that they said, you are not my pastor and you will never be my pastor. I don't feel like you're my pastor. Well, I'll tell you this. I want to be. Yeah, that's all I can say right there. I want to be. I want to be. But folks, be careful now. You say, I've been in this church for 40 years. That's good, but you have to understand something. Having been in this church 40 years, if you're not careful, you'll consider yourself more important than the ones that have been in the church for 40 days. You say, well, I've given more and I've sacrificed more. Yes, you have, but not as much as Christ. Is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? There's a family that's been in our church for 1 month, and I want them to know you're loved, you're accepted, and you're wanted here. Jesus didn't die any more for a 40-year church veteran member than he did for somebody that's been in the church for 40 days. So we've got to be careful that we never develop an old crowd, new crowd mentality, because if we do that, Christ is divided. I want all of you to love your last pastor, every one of you. Everyone. I want everybody in here to love Brother and Mrs. Smith. I do. Those of you that came from other churches, I want you to love your last pastor. I would never try to take that from you. Not at all. I don't want to take that love. Love them. I want you to love them. But be careful that we don't end up with a divided attitude. We must gel into a team, and whether we like it or not, in the New Testament church, God appoints the pastor as the coach of the team. Now, let me say this. Be careful that we don't have these little units that Paul warned of. You could get it in regard to education. We have a Christian school. You know, I support it. Support it 100%. But let me tell you something. We have some young people that go to public school here. You young people that go to a public school, your preacher loves you and your church loves you. And you young people that get to go to the Christian school, don't you form an arrogant attitude. There are a lot of young people that go to a public school that would like to be in your Christian school. It doesn't always work out for everybody, but everybody needs to be treated with dignity and respect. And so we have to be careful that we don't develop an attitude. Young people in the Christian school, let me tell you something. When we do have the young people that go to the public school, and they come, listen, there are some activities that we have that are strictly for Martinsburg Christian Academy. But the youth department is for all the teenagers in our church, and all the teenagers in our church may attend. That the requirements, stipulations, and expectations are for everybody, but they're equal. And we ought to make it so the young people that do not get to go to the Christian school feel more than welcome coming to the church activities that are set up for the entire church. Don't form your group. Now, I'm not saying that everybody ought to be best, you ought to be best friends with everybody. Let's face it, being best friends and fellowship is based on someone's pure testimony. But I am saying to you, they ought to feel accepted and they ought to feel apart. You see, we can get these little groups. Is Christ divided? We don't want that. Something I want you to be very careful of over in our school. I seen this when I was growing up. I seen that athletes can get an arrogance about them to where they think they're superior to the kids that are not athletes, and I don't like that. Is Christ divided? If you have the idea because you can run faster than somebody else in your school that makes you superior, I want you to understand something. Nowhere in the Bible does it say running fast makes you anything. Say, I can throw a ball farther than you. I probably know girls that can throw a ball farther than you. And I know girls that can lift more weights than you. Jocks who think they're special. I'm not impressed by that in the slightest. If you have athletic ability, don't you let it go to your head and make you think you're really something special. That kind of arrogance causes division. And I've watched people with athletic ability look down on those that maybe don't have it. Let me tell you something. Some of you that have athletic ability, you had a daddy that spent time with you and showed you how. Maybe if you got a little heart about you, you would realize there are some people that didn't have a daddy that taught them that. Instead of being arrogant and cocky and exalting yourself, maybe you ought to care about some. And then maybe there's somebody that's not interested in how far they can throw a ball. But what am I saying? You can get these little groups. You cheerleaders. You be careful it doesn't become an arrogance about you. Look, I have a green outfit. I'm a cheerleader. Well, that doesn't make you any more special than anybody else that goes to our school. Now, I do know that our cheerleaders, their testimony, we expect it to be extremely high. I expect you to keep the standards up, but I'm just trying to tell you, don't you get to flaunting your little self around here like you're somebody special because you have a little green outfit and you stand out there and hop up and down. Bunnies hop up and down all the time, and we eat them for dinner. Be careful now. A church can develop an attitude about it. And a church like ours, look, I can't run this big thing. We all know the philosophy. We multiply by dividing, and we have our units, and we give leadership in the church, and different people lead at different levels. But you have to be careful that you don't take that little unit that you lead and allow it to sour to where they're saying, well, I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Paul. Never should be like that. Never should be like that. Abraham Lincoln said in one of his speeches, a house divided against itself will surely fall. And I'd say God's house divided against itself will surely fall. You take, for instance, this little area of attitudes, if you will. It can get that way financially. I've watched people that are well-to-do get an arrogance about them in the church, and they only fellowship with the well-to-do. They get this attitude, well, I gave this much money and helped with this project. I deserve special respect. You can't buy power from this pastor. Power's not for sale in the church. Can I recommend something to you? Can I recommend that some of you that have some means fellowship with some of the people that don't? Be good for you to come down where us scum live. Well, I'd never have them to my house. Maybe God ought to take that house from you because he's the one that gave it to you in the first place. Hey, I think we have to be careful that the rich don't get an arrogance and form their little group in the church, and then the middle class and then the poor. Poor have always been welcome here, and we plan to continue that. Invite the poor around. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We don't plan to change that. Sure enough, boy, we've got our special needs people here, and I love them to death. I thank God for them. Boy, we'll have some visitor pull in $40,000-$50,000 brand new car, sharp family, probably businessman. They'll pull in, and one of the first people to greet him is one of our special needs folks. I'm thinking, oh no. But I tell you what, they're as much a member of our church as everybody else. And I don't want us to start forming these attitudes of these little units that are independent of the is Christ divided? No, we're a group, and Jesus is our leader. We're all pulling together to make it happen. You look, we have a lot of people here that have been to Bible colleges. I've watched church after church get divided into almost little cliques in regard to they went to this Bible college or that Bible college. If you ever become more loyal to a Bible college than you are to your local New Testament church, you've been trained wrong somewhere along the way. Somewhere along the way, somebody's tampered with you. That is not scriptural. You take, for instance, we have people in our church that went to Maranatha Baptist Bible College. We have people that went to Bob Jones University. We have people that went to Pensacola. We have people that went to Tennessee Temple. We have people that went to Hiles Anderson College and Crown and Antietam. We have people that are here that have attended the Baptist College of America, the Texas Baptist College, and Commonwealth. Can I tell you all something? Your degrees and where they're from mean nothing in regard to the New Testament church. I've got degrees, I think, from four different institutions. But the truth is, you don't see me flaunt them. That's not my purpose. That's not my plan. And someday, when our Bible college is up and running full force, we'll teach our students that where you graduated from, you're not to be arrogant about it. You're just to be a servant of God and get something done. And don't you ever go to some church and divide that church over the issue of your college. I was taught not to let that happen. My mentor taught me that that's not how it's supposed to be. So these areas, though, it could get like that. I don't want it to be like that. Then let's take Sunday school classes. We have a lot of adult Sunday school classes here. I like it. Let me say to everybody here that has an adult Sunday school class, with the exception of, I think, two I appointed. I did not appoint Mike Majent. I did not appoint Tom Tennis. I would have, because they're very loyal, good men. Everybody else I appointed, but I did not give you that class to turn it into your class. That is still this church's. And any time your class becomes more important than the program that this pulpit is directing, you're going down the wrong path. Going down the wrong path. See, we could get in the church and say, I'm of Bush. I'm of Tennis. I'm of Nash. I'm of Young. I'm of Lawrence. I'm of Bajan. I'm of Kane. I'm of Cowling. I'm of Doss. I want you to be loyal to your Sunday school class, and I want you to love your teacher. I want that. I want you to love the people. And you're probably going to love the people in your class and know them a little better than others. Why? You spend so much time together. You're a unit. You're almost a fraternity inside the church, and that's all okay. We plan it that way. But anytime your unit becomes more important than what this pulpit's directing, you're out of whack. You're out of whack. So we have to be careful that we don't let those Sunday school classes get out of hand. Families can become guilty of this within a church. Clannish. Mark chapter 13, verse 12 and 13, it says, Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Now listen to me, folks. We have some large families in our church. I mean, I don't have any idea how many people are connected to the Shiflett clan. I don't have many. The McLean clan. You get to working yourself around this church. We've got some families. I mean, they're huge. Well, let me tell you something. Families like that can cause grief in a church. One gets their feathers ruffled and everybody turns on the church. You better be careful. That is exactly, I would guess, though, I don't get to take you to a commentary that was written by Paul about the book of 1 Corinthians, but probably tucked in the division that he was dealing with was probably some clannish problems. Be careful. Guard yourself. You take the ministries within our church. We have many ministries within our church. We have a senior citizen ministry. We have four different senior citizen Sunday school classes. We have the bus ministry. I think y'all love the bus ministry, but I think I should remind you, the bus ministry, you're no more important than the youth ministry. Youth ministry, you're no more important than the senior citizen ministry. Every one of you have a place and you have a part. Now, I want you to be serious about your place and be committed to your part and work like it's the most important thing in the world, but what's your attitude about it? Because it's not. We have a King's Kids ministry. We have Martinsburg Christian Academy. We have a deaf ministry. We have our children's choirs. We have four children's churches. We have six nurseries. We have a music ministry. We have a choir, special music groups, King Choir. Let me tell you, watch out. Those ministries, they could pull to themselves and start doing what they want to do, but not do what is best for everybody. Martinsburg Christian Academy, these two men that are principals of Martinsburg Christian Academy, before they put a schedule out at the beginning of every year, they come to me and they make sure that their schedule is okay with me and the church. That school will never run this church. They know that. There are times I say, I don't want you to do that right there. We're going soul winning that night. They don't schedule basketball games on church attendance, and they don't schedule basketball games on soul winning. I know all sorts of Christian schools that have virtually taken over the ministry of their church. If we had to shut something down around here, we'll shut the school down long before we'd ever shut our church down. I don't plan on shutting anything down. I plan to start a bunch of new things, just so you know. But if you had to pick between the two, you ought to never be more loyal to that school than you are to this church. You ought to never be more loyal to your independent ministry than you are to the local New Testament church. We have a Bible college now. People get real committed to Bible college. Nobody should ever be more committed to our Bible college than they are to the local New Testament church. Now, let me give you, again, very quickly, some signs that groups or people may be slipping into this kind of behavior. For instance, when you're in your group, there's bad talk about any of the other groups. When you're in your group, there's bad talk about the other groups. Let's take, for instance, a quartet in this church building practicing, and they get to talking about some other singing group. Don't you understand? You're all part of the same group. Just remember, is Christ divided? No. Christ is not divided. He's not supposed to be divided. So bad talk while you're in your group or with somebody from your group about other groups. Next, bad talk about leaders of other groups. Bad talk about leaders from other groups within the church. Next, attendance to your group's functions but not to church functions. Your Sunday school class has an activity and you would miss it for anything in the world, but the church can have an activity, you won't show up. Your Sunday school class's activity is not more important than what this pulpit is directing. You were not given that class to pull it away from the group. You're given that class to pull it into the group. You put yours as secondary and you put ours as primary. Not all pastors know to get up and say stuff like this. Not all pastors have the backbone to say things like this. This is a steering wheel right here. What are some signs that groups are slipping into this? Another, prayer support for your group, but not prayer support for the church. Now, I think you're going to pray for your group, and I want you to. And I think when you're praying for your group, you are praying for the church, but you shouldn't ignore everything else.
Yes, sir.
Remember next, you come to Sunday school, but not to church. Now, I realize sometimes there are those who have a health issue that may keep them from coming, but I'll promise you, been at it long enough to know that if somebody will come to Sunday school and they escape to get away before they have to come be in the church service with me, they're more loyal to something than they are to what's happening in this pulpit. So you know, when you see all those fleeing, and there's just a few, when you see them fleeing, I'm not for that. Now, you don't always know all the stories. Sometimes people get sick in between the two and they're called into work and we have things like that. But someone that's repetitively doing it and doing it on purpose, there's a problem. Hey, and I'll tell you this also. I've had Sunday school teachers come to me and say, I got somebody in my class. I taught it and taught it and taught it and told them you shouldn't be leaving, and they do anyway. That's not the Sunday school teacher's fault. That may not be that group's fault. It may be the individual, but don't you slip into that. Next, more loyalty to your little group and its leader than the church leadership. Next, willingness to financially give to your little group, but you hold out on the church. That happens. I have enough people who have been in Christianity long enough to know there are people that they'll hold out on the church, but they'll make sure their little group receives. If you're a leader of a little group and somebody's doing that, you ought to tell them to stop it. And say, no, you need to help support the whole program. What are some signs that groups or people fall into this problem? Is Christ divided? I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. Here's one. Your group not being willing to change or adjust for the sake of the entire church's program or success. Your group not being willing to change or adjust for the sake of the entire church's program and success. And remember, folks, I'm not having any problems with any of this. Best time in the world to fix something's before it's broken. So I'm not having a bunch of problems with these sort of things. But look, as our church grows and as we expand and as we develop, there are going to be times when we have to come to you and say, could you change a little something for us? Because we're working more people in. And you ought to rally your group together to say, you know what? We want to serve the church. We want to do what's best for the church, not what's best for us. Anytime you get that me, my mentality, there's a problem. It's not supposed to be like that. Is Christ divided? No, he shouldn't be. Hey, get this. What's a sign that you might be slipping into this kind of behavior? You want other groups to fail. Nobody in this church should want anybody in this church to fail. You should not want any individual to fail. You should not want any group to fail. I love this. Brother Bob Jones, he may be sick tonight, but Brother Bob Jones and Brother Ed Davis are leaders in Brother Bush's Sunday school class. And I was out here in the hallway talking with Brother Bob Jones a week or so ago. They had been having a competition in class, and this is what Bob Jones told me. He said, you know what, Ed Davis and I used to have a competitive spirit with each other, and it'd get real tense. He said, I almost hate competing with Ed because I love him, and I don't want either one of us to have to lose. And I thought, what growth. What a phenomenal attitude. we have some fun and we compete around here, but don't ever take it too deeply and too seriously. It's just for fun. That's all it is. Thank God for two dignified, capable, educated, successful men that say, we'll compete for the fun of it, but Ed doesn't want Bob to lose, and Bob doesn't want Ed to lose because they love each other. That's the way you ought to have that at the root of everything that we do around here. Everything that we do. Let me give you another sign. When asked to do something for another ministry, you're encouraged by your ministry not to do it. Listen, if we ask that you do something and the people in your group are trying to talk you out of doing what the rest of the church needs you to do, there's some problem right there. There's too much loyalty to your group. It shouldn't be. See, your group is not all about your group. Your group is all about everybody else. And any time a group becomes all about it, you got a problem. I love this. Brother Butch Berman, he oversees our grounds ministry here. He and I were recently meeting, and he said, preacher, I need a couple more men to help me with the grounds. He said, but let me tell you what. He said, I had a man come to me, and we started him out there on the grounds and just new in the church, and we didn't know him well, and I've watched him grow in the Lord. He said, I feel a little bit maybe as a contributor. He's grown, and he's now working in the bus ministry, and he's a bus captain, and he came to me. He said, I can't come in on Saturdays. I'm out visiting my bus route, so I need to make a change in my responsibility. And Butch said, it is great to give up men as they grow to higher positions. Yeah. It ought to be. I wonder how many times, Brother Doss, I've come to your Sunday school class and people have grown and grown and grown. I come and I say, I need a Sunday school teacher. And Brother Doss says, that's okay, preacher. That's okay. You need a Sunday school teacher, let them teach. If you're not careful, when you keep somebody for your group, you hurt the somebody. I know some somebodies that needed to step up. You kept them for you. But they aren't for you. They aren't for you. Listen, we have to be careful that we do not become like this church of Corinth. It was carnal. It was fleshly. I want the loyalty within the groups. Everybody, let's make sure that we remember Christ is not divided. This church is a family. And I would like to say, and we ought to behave like a family, but I know how some of your families behave. You say, get it, I can kill somebody. Is Christ divided? No, no. And neither are we. And let's just keep it that way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have an altar call. If you're unsaved, I hope you'll come and get saved. If you've been saved but not baptized, why don't you come? If you need to join the church, if you've been saved and baptized by immersion, you may come. You say, oh boy, I can see some of those tendencies in myself, then get them fixed. Get them fixed, leaders. Get them fixed. Let's not destroy a momentum that this church has. We haven't been under 1,000 in Sunday school for months, hundreds and hundreds being saved. God is, the spirit in this place is excellent. Usually it's not tampered with from the outside, it's tampered with from the inside. Don't let it happen. Not to your group, not to you. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our hands bowed, our eyes closed. Choir, sing the song of invitation.